This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, Father. Thank you that there's no higher name, there's no other king, there's no Lord. You are the only Lord of Lords. You are the King of Kings. You are the best. You are everything, Father. And thank you that we know Jesus died for our sins. The places where we just miss it, Lord. The places where we just didn't it in your will and we did it soulishly, Father. But that there's forgiveness. It amazes us, Lord. Sometimes it's so difficult to even say sorry to someone, Lord. But you just say, come, and I forgive you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We cannot grasp it. We cannot understand it. But we believe in you, and we have trust and hope and faith in you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's some chairs in front. You can have a seat here if there's no chairs. I'm not eating anyone, so... I know I look scary, but it's just fake. Okay. Thank you, Mark. It's such a blessing having you part of this congregation of God. It's awesome. It's a very plain topic today, and most of you have heard the whole story. But I want to ask you, is there anyone, one or two people, who have a testimony of hope in God, or hope that something will happen, that you stood in faith or trust or hope for God, that you can share with the congregation? So a testimony where you had hope, faith, or trust in God, and that it came to be true. We cannot be known. Okay, Margo? So there's another one. So please come and share.
My husband and I, we are self-employed. We run our own business in London. And because of that, we can't get a mortgage, a proper mortgage in London. The only mortgage we could get was basically for a garage. And I don't want to live with him in a garage. And we every year we just like hope, you know, Lord, please come. And we go and look at homes and nothing comes through. And then about 5 years ago, friends of ours came to us and said to us, we want you to be our neighbors. And we were like, yeah. And they said, no, we want you to build a house with us. And we're going to buy a land, and we want you to build on the land your own house. That is unheard of. First of all, to build in London area is unheard of. You buy from a plot or whatever. And so we were like, yeah, okay, right. I was like, yeah, Lord, thank you. And you know what? Last week, they signed off the plans from the architects. We're starting to build within a month. And the most amazing thing of all of this is that the people that we're building with, and we're buying the house from them, and they say to us, don't worry about a mortgage. Get what you can get, and we talk again. Now, if that isn't from God, I don't know. Because, yeah, it was impossible for us to do it. Nothing has changed in our circumstances or anything. But, you know, God is faithful all the time.
Amen. Amen. I also want to be so cool. Who's the next one? There must be someone. Not one? No testimonies? Of hope and faith and trust? So then the sermon is for you. Sorry?
Malinky?
Some people struggle
Yes.
Pray for you.
I'm not sure which part I need to tell. At the beginning of the year, the African Enterprise people came, and then with that, another visitor came to the front, and he told us about Awakening Europe. And at that time, I was like, Lord, I need a big worship event in my life. I need to go to something big. And I remember that Sunday, I wasn't really planning to come to church. I was planning to meet a friend in Amsterdam. And at 3 o'clock, or two, more or less 2 o'clock in the afternoon, she let me know that their plans have totally changed and everything. And I was sitting there, I was like, ugh, what now? And by 3 o'clock that Sunday afternoon, I was so bored with myself, so I decided to come to church. And yes. I'm honest. And I remember walking in, and I was just in time for the two visitors giving their testimonies or telling their stories and whatnot. And the second guy told us about Awakening Europe, and it's so cool, and you need to go, and there's a massive worship event, and there's people praying for Europe, and oh, it's going to be amazing. And I just looked at it, I was like, yeah, whatever. And that evening, I was really intrigued by it, but I was just like, I don't know. And I got in my car and I started driving home, and the Lord was like, did you hear? It's in Latvia. And I'm like, yeah, and? So I got home, and during that week, the king of the Netherlands went and he visited Latvia. And he went to Riga, and I was like, okay, why is this coming up? I've never heard of this country, and now the king went to visit it. And my mom ordered something, and the box arrived, and the shoes were made in Latvia. And I'm like, okay, this is just ridiculous. And at that time, I was going for an interview, and the people just randomly told me they also have an office in Latvia. And I was like, okay, Lord, I get the sign. I'm going. And I made contact with the team that was supposed to go from South Africa. And I contacted the guy and I was like, hey, Jock, listen, remember me? I'm still planning to go to Latvia. Do I find you guys there? And he doesn't come back to me. And at some stage he comes back. He's like, yes, 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 we're going. This is the plan. This is the date. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'll let you know closer to the time. I'll plan all my stuff from this side and I'll let you know. And about a week or 10 days before the time, I'm sitting in my house and I'm like, okay, Lord, it's really on my heart. I need to pray for this thing now, this event, and I'm going. And as I'm praying and I'm asking the Lord about this team, he just tells me they're not going anymore, but you will be okay. I'm like, okay. But Lord, I need you to provide. I just need someone on the other side. And he's like, don't worry, you'll be fine. And I ended up buying my tickets, booking my place to stay. And I was just like looking at this thing and I'm going like, okay, goodness, I'm going to this country. I don't speak the language. I don't understand when they speak at all. It's crazy. I've never been. I have no idea. And on the one side, I'm like, I don't really want to go. I'm going to be alone. And a couple of days before I'm supposed to go, I contact the guy. I'm like, hey, how's it? And he's just like, no, sorry, we're not going anymore. But this other girl is going. And I'm like, okay, cool. And he sends me the contact information. And I ended up meeting a South African girl in Riga who speaks Afrikaans, just like I do. And we had the most incredible time there. And I remember getting on the airplane, coming back, and I was like, oh, Lord, this was such an amazing blessing. I had such a great time with you and with her and at the event and everything. Everything is just so amazing. And he just said, I provide. I give what you need. I provide. And to me, that was just so amazing, you know, coming back to the Netherlands, just knowing that God provides, you know, like I just kind of ended up trusting him and going to the event and just like, okay, Lord, all out. And he gave me the friend that I needed, the someone that I could go like, oh my goodness, the Lord told me this and this and this during the event. And
she kind of like pushed me in a certain direction, and it's the way that I'm walking, but it's not, yeah. that's a story for a different time. But yeah, the Lord is just busy and he's working, and if you trust him, he will provide. So,
okay, I hope this wire thing is now sorted. So yeah, hope, faith and trust. When I prayed about this sermon, God gave me two pictures, one of a crow, and I don't have a very positive feeling about the crow, but actually, was it Elijah or Eliza? Yeah. Yeah. Simon. Okay, that one. I'm always confused with those two names. He brought him food. No, the crow fed him. So in that sense, it was a good thing. But normally, it's a little like they take what they want and off they go. It can be a provision, like with him, but it can also be kind of someone who just takes from you. So I said, okay, what about this? And then God showed me a picture of a Concorde. I don't know if they still fly, but a big Concorde, and it took off right in front of me. And normally that is a ministry or your work or whatever. And Concorde is big, it can have many passengers. And I think this is really for us today, that God says, I want to have a lift off. I want to take you to a second level, to the next level, where you need to be the next season. So I'm looking forward. I trust God that he will speak to each one of you, and especially where you are at. So yeah, there we go. With the Concorde, God also said, when I fly, my trust is in the pilot and in the machinery and in the tower on the ground. No, so I said, okay, if those three people and if those three things is okay, then it will be okay. But actually, God wants us to have our hope, faith, and trust in him. Mm-hmm. It can still fail. So I always pray whenever I fly. But yeah, it's in on earth, the way we live, we often trust in our man-made structures and doings. And we forget that actually God is in control, mm-hmm. and it can still change. So, okay, we start with hope. What is hope? It's a feeling, so it's just a feeling, that events will turn out for the best. It's a positive expectation of something not seen. So what, you're not going to share, but just in your heart, what are you hoping for? What is in your heart that you hope will come true, will come through, or will be truth? Or so just think of that and hold it in the back of your head. What do you hope for? There's some scriptures on it. We're going to fly through a lot of scriptures because this is really from the Word. It's not my opinion. I have lots of opinions, but when I preach, it's about God's opinion. So in Romans 8, verse 24 to 25, it says, "For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." And it's just like the testimony. You don't see it. Karinke didn't know, and Margot, and so you don't know. If you knew, it was not hope anymore. No, then it was a solid knowing of what it will be. So it's kind of scary, especially if you're a control type of person, a control freak. I am not adventurous. I love to know the outcome. And so it is very difficult for me to, we say in the Word, you walk on water. When we had to come to the Netherlands, God told me, I will not walk, I will swim. It's about that guy who stood in the water with his ankles and later on with his knees and later on with his hips and then eventually had to swim. He said, you will not even go there, you will start swimming from the start. So that is a very scary place for me. If God gives you something like that, perhaps you will do much better than me. But it's not something that you know will go well. You hope it will go well. Okay, and then in 1 Thessalonians, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that means those who have died, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope beyond the grave. And when I read this, I really felt, I see it often, when people do not believe in God, when some loved ones of theirs die, they are overtaken by grief. It is so intense, difficult for them. And then sometimes I wonder, you are so over-emotional, what's going on with you? But I realized, if you have no hope beyond death, then it must be more difficult. Then what do you cling to? What is your hope in? We hope and we trust and we have faith that we will see one another on the other side. And that we will see each other in heaven with Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. So we are supposed to have hope beyond death, because Jesus has conquered it. No? So then the next slide, Eunice, we're going to skip. We have him later on. Then 1 Peter 3 verse 15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. We are supposed to have hope in us. Sometimes we struggle. When Thursday, when we shared, we did evangelism for a long time. I couldn't join, so this was the first time in many weeks. And there was a guy, and he was super religious from Poland, and he believed in Santa Maria. And there was no way that we could share with him the hope we have in Jesus, in God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. His hope is in Santa Maria. But whenever we can share that, I'm still praying for him to realize that his hope is in Jesus and not in the mother on earth of Jesus. I know it's a Catholic way of thinking, but we have hope in Jesus. And so sometimes people, the neighbors of us, just before I visited South Africa, she came and we see each other sometimes on the street. And she said, she would like to have a cup of coffee with me. And that was a miracle. Because since they know we were busy planting a church here, they kind of checked us out, but I didn't know. I just went on with my life and did what I need to do and what God said. And then she said, you know, you're actually quite normal. And that is because we have the hope in us and we know Jesus. And we are normal. We are just like the neighbors, but with hope. So I don't know what she expected of us. Then Psalm 147. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. So when we have hope in Jesus, it gives him pleasure. If we don't have hope in him, it's the opposite. If we say, Lord, I don't know about this. He loves it when we trust him. And or when we have hope in him. And it is difficult because, I just want to use this example. When a child comes to his father or his mother and he says, may I have a sweetie or may I have some Coke or something that is special that they don't get normally. They hope you say yes, but you can see their hope is in you. And it's a good thing. And Jesus loves it when our hope, God loves us, when our hope is in Him. When He can see we want to. Yes, Lord, please help us with our faith that is not so strong. But we really hope that everything you say and you are is the truth. So hope is it's a feeling. I think it's a start. Where faith, the next slide is faith, is a little more solid than hope. Faith is more a confidence or trust in a person or thing. The evidence of hope, assurance of hope. So it's a little more solid. All right, yeah. You trust that the hope you have is truth. So it all feels very airy, airy, fairy. But is your hope, your faith, is it in, for instance, say for instance we look to the country, is your hope in political leaders? Of your faith? Sorry, we are at faith. Is your faith in a political leader? Is your faith in, yeah, what is your faith in? Only the things that you can control? Where lies your faith? I just want you to think about that. We had the hope. Where lies your hope? Where lies your faith? It's a little stronger than hope. Faith in God, I wrote here, faith in God is, for example, do you have faith in God that He can heal? Do you have faith in God that He can give you a tongue? We had Encounter One the other day, and there was one person who didn't have the ability to speak in tongues. And it's a freaky thing in the beginning, especially if you do not really understand. But do you have faith in God that He can give it to you? Do you have faith in God that He can give you prophetic words? The first time when I had to pray with someone in the front, in Shofar, I thought, oh Lord, what must I pray? I have no idea. What must I say? But you know, God loves that person so much that He gives you something. And then I think, wow, awesome. When we did F5, I think it was, then there was, also the leader said, okay, sit next to someone that you don't know. So I was kind of old when I got spirit-filled, and I sat next to this student, and he said, okay, now get a word for one another. I never got a word for anyone, so I have no idea how to do this. So I sat next to her, and I prayed, and I got literally nothing. And then she started, yes, ma'am, I have this word for you. You are, I think she said I was like a tree or a hen with lots of chickens. I normally get those two. I'm either a tree or a hen. I said, okay, that sounds good. And then I felt so terrible because I didn't have something for her. But when I closed my eyes, I saw kind of a white light, but I thought, whatever, it's my eyes that does that, because the lights were quite light. And then I said, I'm so sorry. What I think I see is a white light. And she started crying. And I thought, woo! And then she said, I always wanted to be a light. I asked God so many times to be a light. So that was my first step, trusting God, His prophetic word, operating in me. So all that we need is a willingness to step out, to walk on water. You cannot control it. It is not you. The only thing you can do is be available. And that's the 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7. We walk by faith and not by sight. So it's not what we really can see. We really need to rely on God. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Yeah, we have the hope thing again. The conviction of things not seen. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. It's so funny that it says it stands in the Bible, no? That creation came out of nothing. when we learn of evolution, we learn that it started with something. Creation started with nothing. God created it. It did not evolve from something. It was created by God. There's super cool videos on the contrast between creationism and evolution. It is so cool to watch them. I love them. Mm. So if you're ever confused, or there's someone that's really convinced of evolution or something like that, just watch those videos. There's plenty of them. And the evidence that there is, it's God's humor is so funny sometimes. Oh, okay, I didn't know that. So there's some cool facts that you can use and just share, and then, you know, it just challenges the faith of evolution a lot, and you just know, okay, it's creationism. Good. Then there's a few scriptures. I don't know how to say it. Is it popular guys? No, it's not. It's the big guys of the Bible. Who did a lot of things by faith. Hebrews. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. And Cain got jealous, and that's why he murdered his brother. But it was in faith. God said, this and this is how you do it, and by faith he did it. By faith, Enoch was taken up. They could never find his body. So by faith, they know he's been taken up by God. And then... And without faith, it is impossible to please God. I'm so sad that they took out the capital letters, because that hymn is God. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. We need faith to please God, to know that he's there. We cannot just say, perhaps he's there, if you don't have faith in it. It's a next level. And by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark. When I and me and Dad came visited, some guy in the Netherlands built an ark, and it was in Dordrecht at that stage. I don't know where the thing is now. It sails sometimes. It's an enormous thing. And he built it according to the measurements of the Bible. And it was so cool for me to see it visually. And they have some fake animals in it. but there's also some rabbits and goats or something that was alive. But then I realized, I never saw that scripture, that it has never rained when Noah got this assignment from God. He didn't know what was a flood. He didn't know what was rain. The earth was moist. Made moist by mist. So why would you want to build something that can sail? It just doesn't make sense. So sometimes God really doesn't make sense to us. We must just then do it in faith. And Noah is really an example of that. Okay, Luke 7 verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, said, I tell you, not even in Israel have found such faith. It's about a centurion. He was a leader in the army, if I have it right. And his bond servant was sick. And he really liked this guy. And it was a good guy that was sick. And then he asked some Jewish elders to go to Jesus and ask Jesus to please be so kind to come and heal this guy. And then he said, yeah, because this guy is really a cool guy, he built the synagogue on his own account for us. So it was really one of your friends, something like that. Really a giver. But he was now very sick. So then they came to Jesus, he asked a few Jews to go and ask Jesus. Then they came to Jesus, they convinced him. Jesus said, okay, I'll come. So he was close to the house. Then he sent a few friends, the centurion, and said, I'm not worthy of you coming to my place. You can just say the word. I have authority over a lot of people, and when I speak, they will do. And they will adhere to what I say. I understand authority. So you have authority in this area, so you can just where you are, just speak, and I know my bondservant will be healed. And then this is why Jesus said he has never seen such a faith in Israel. This guy understood authority, and he understood God's authority. It's beautiful. And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This was the story about a Pharisee invited Jesus at his home and to have a meal with him. And then there came a woman that they knew was full of sin. So I don't know if she was a prostitute or whatever, but she was stuck in sin. She just couldn't get out of it. Or perhaps she was a drug addict, or she stole off people. I don't know. But everyone in town knew her. And now this filthy lady, in brackets, came, and she sat at Jesus' feet, and she cried, and her tears, she washed his feet, and she wiped it with her hair. And I think she had that alabaster, that very expensive oil, and she washed his feet with that as well. And so it must have been an awesome fragrance. But then they said, yeah, but Jesus, if you're a prophet, you're supposed to know this is really not a cool girl. You will get defiled around her. And then he just said, no, she has her faith. Your faith has saved you, go in peace. She had faith in Jesus, that he will come and forgive her, and he will not see all her sin. So often when I ask God, not when, but I ask God often when I struggle with someone, when my personality clashes a little with someone, I said, Lord, show this person through your eyes for me, because I need to see them like how you see them. Because I look worldly. But God does that. Jesus does that. Then I will see the good in the person as well. And they say, oh, okay. And then it's much easier for them. So Jesus saw her in a much different way as us. And he forgave her her sin because she had faith in him. She knew God can forgive her. So it's beautiful. I will move a little quicker. Luke 5, and when he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. That was the friends of a lame man. He was lame and he had good buddies. And they wanted to bring this lame man before Jesus. They couldn't find a place because the house was so full of people. So they went on the roof and they lowered him down in front of him. I also want buddies like that. I think the lame man's faith was also strong. And then God also says, Jesus said, man, your sins are forgiven, you. And then he could stand up. He said, stand up and go. So that was also awesome. So faith is a stronger thing than hope. And it makes things happen. Hope sometimes not. Hope is often, you just hope for it. But faith is a next level. It's a next step. And it is as if then things start to happen. When you have faith, things start to happen. I want to share a quick testimony here. When I twisted my knee at the age of 50 because I jumped on a jumping castle, and it didn't go well. And then the next Sunday at church, the pastor said, okay, those who need healing, come to the left front. Of course, I sat right back. And it was a big hole. And then I thought, this is not for me. I know God can heal, but not for me. It's not for me. And so I stayed in my chair. And then my son said to me, Mom, you need to go. I said, yeah, but I think it's not for me. I think it's for other people. And then said, oh, you stupid, just go. So sometimes I need a nudge like a linky. And so I went with my crutches, click, click. Those my click, click sounds as you go, click, click. I couldn't stand on my feet at all. When my toe touched the floor, it was like lightning through my leg. And I would hyperventilate, and my heart rate would go up, and I would start sweating. And then it took me about 5 minutes to get my body calm again. I speak to it and say, it's okay, it's okay. So it was really extremely painful. And so I came to the front, and there was another son of us. We only have three, but yeah, two was in the sermon. And he said, why are you so late? We are finished praying. And I said, yeah, because I think it's not for me, and I'm sorry, no. Ach, Ma, you are so stupid. Okay, so that's the second time. So now I stood with the crutches, but you know, I'm heavy, so to stand long on one leg, although you have crutches, this leg starts to do this. It starts to shake. So I said, I need to sit. No, no, we're going to pray for you. And a first-year student came, and he said, okay, you'll pray for me. So he sat on his knees. He says, be healed. This knee of this lady be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And he stood up. Is that all? And then my son said, okay, Mom, give me the crutches. I said, I do not. So by then I was standing like this. I said, I don't trust this. I said, Bernard, if I stand on this leg now and the knee cannot hold me, then it's totally torn off. It's now halfway torn off, according to me, but then it will be totally torn off. And he says, where is your faith? And I said, I don't have faith for this. I know God can do it, but I don't trust God that he can do it for me. So I said, my faith will not heal my leg. So whose faith will? He says, oh, ours. I said, okay, then you can, but I think you need to pray more. And he prayed once more, just the sentence, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And Bernard took my crutches, and luckily he was a strong guy by then. He was still young, but he was strong. So I hung unto him. And then I softly put my foot down, and nothing happened. And then I was going, oh, but I'm very heavy. So as soon as I put my whole weight on it, it will go, oh. And so I was hanging on to him, and I tried to slowly put some weight on it, and nothing happened. Totally nothing. And then I could walk. So, yes, with faith, things are moving. It starts moving. But I also know that someone else can have faith for you. It was definitely not my faith that healed me that day. It was still very painful for 6 weeks. And when I went to the physios, she said, how is it possible that you can walk without crutches? Your ligaments were torn off. I said, okay, why don't you share that with me? Because then I could go to the hospital and get them fixed. She said, I knew you would go to church. And so then it was even a bigger miracle for me. But I could walk. And I couldn't touch the floor before. So yeah, that was... So I also say, when your horse is sick, you pray for the horse. He doesn't have faith. You have the faith. Good, that was a long story on faith. And then on Luke 8, verse 25, it was when Jesus was with his disciples in the boat, and it was very stormy, and they were scared they're going to drown. I don't know if some of you were on a small boat, and it was really a stormy sea, a strong wind comes up. Suddenly the waves are much higher than you that it was when you departed. It's really scary. And this little boat will not make it. And most probably they would have, the boat would have sinked. I don't know. They were seamen, men. They caught fish. They were often on the sea. So it was a familiar area for them. So if they had to be scared, they were scared, it must have been really scary. And then Jesus said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, who then is this that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him? Because he can't the sea. Just as easy as that, he can't the sea. Sana always says, yeah, he just opened the sea for Moses and the whole crowd behind him.
Yeah, that's what he's been showing me all week.
This is our God. This is our God. But it's not yours, mine as well. Faith is sometimes so small, so small that we cannot think that a God can do it, you know. It's not a God. It is our God. It's the God. It's beautiful. The Bible is full of that. There's so many scriptures. I just took someone out of loop. 12 verse 25, but if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, if you, O you of little faith? It's just before the verse before it says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about what you will put on or what you will eat. It didn't say where you will live, right?
He did say, don't worry about nothing.
Yes, it didn't say, be anxious for nothing. Be troubled for nothing. Sometimes we really want to be in control. And once Caroline said to me, the Dutch started, or was it Caroline? Started, what is that? Insurance. It was a Jew. Okay, then it was perhaps Simeon. I don't know. Someone shared with me that Dutch started with insurance. And I don't know if it's true. But yes, we want to know everything. We want to control everything. If our house burned down, how will we get it back? Yeah, insurance. If you're sick, can you be treated? Yes, you need insurance. But we live in a life like that. So it's difficult then to step a little back and out that and have faith in many things. But I think that's the challenge that God is giving us today. Then the last level, trust. That's the third level. The definition is reliance on the integrity or strength or ability or surety of a person or a thing. I think it's that when I fly, I trust all those things. I don't trust God. I think I do, but in essence, I think I will not let this thing fly if it's not checked and all those things. So a synonym can be confidence, being confident, having confident expectation of something, believe in something as true or trustworthy. So I think hope is less secure, faith is more secure, trust is a knowing. And in Proverbs 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your path. I think this is a challenge for some of us to really totally trust God with everything, to really walk on water. If it doesn't make sense, if it makes sense, it's easy. I don't think if it makes sense, we really trust. We just know it will happen. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't make sense. Then we think, no, I don't know. And then it says in the Word, we must trust God with our whole heart and our own understanding. We must leave it behind. I often share that I miss it many times and then say, no, Lord, it's not going to work this way. And I really need to learn to surrender, and I do, but my own understanding, in my own way of thinking, it's not going to work. This is not the way it works. And at one stage, there was my relationship with my sisters struggled, and they wrote me a letter, which was not very nice. And then I wanted to react on that letter. I'm going to communicate back now, and I'm going to share a piece of my heart, but I will do it in a nice way. And then God said, no, you will not write the letter. I said, Lord, but don't you know how relationships work? We need to communicate. And this, by not communicating and ignoring them, I don't think this is the right way. Then he said, I don't want you to write letters. I said, I don't trust this. Can you give me some scripture in the Bible? And yes, somewhere in the Bible, I can't remember where, it says, Paul says, on these things we don't write letters. Okay. Sorry. I didn't write the letter. You just need to trust him. That is the way he wants it to be, and not the way you think it is, has to be. This one in Proverbs is beautiful. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And chariots and horses is how they went to war. That was their cannons and their tanks and their planes and their bombs. So the trust was in that land, we're going to demolish this place. No one will be alive afterwards. But then God says, no, you do not trust in that. You trust in me. Mm-hmm. And we often see it in beautiful stories in the Bible, how the Israelites had to go war with the orchestra in the beginning. Don't you put your cannons out first? No, with music. It just doesn't make sense at all. But the victory was there. Psalm 22, to you that cried and were rescued, in you that trusted and were not put to shame. It's beautiful. David has lots of these psalms. And yeah, God gave me often some of those psalms and says, I hear your cry, I see your tears, and I answer them, but not in the way that you think. And then I must just sit with God and hear, okay, what is your way then? And then get my head around it to feel it's okay, or to think it's okay, or to trust it's okay. And the more you do it, the more you learn to have the trust. The more God challenges you to stand out, to step out, it's that thing, step out of the boat, walk on the water. The more it challenges you to do it, and the less sense it makes, and then you do it, and then you see, oh, it does happen. It is actually awesome. It strengthens your faith and your trust in God, and it's a testimony for other people. It strengthens them. So it's actually a beautiful way, and your faith grows. Later on, you know, that God can heal this person. He is a healer, because I've seen this and this and this, and I've prayed for those and those and those. I do not say everyone get healed when we pray for, but often it does happen, and God can do it. Again, in Psalm 20:62, put no trust in extortion, set no vain hopes on robbery. I don't hope anyone robs you. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. It's so easy. It is so easy. Last year, God said to us, we must sell our house, but not now. He will give us a time. And I've shared this with some of you. And I thought, oh, well, I'll see then. And in my heart, I never shared it with God. But in my heart, I said, okay, we are now here doing the church for God, but we don't get paid much, and we don't have a good pension. So the house is some security. So when we're too old to work, that we will have a pension. Kind of a pension. Not a big one, a little pension. And I didn't say to God, it was just my security. And then he said in May, June, he said, okay, now it's time to sell your house. I was almost to say, no, I don't think so. God says, why not? I said, no, it's our pension. He says, okay, so you don't trust me. I said, yes, I don't trust you. And I repented, and we sold the house. So we put it in the market on Thursday. The Wednesday it was sold. And then I said to God, couldn't you wait 3 months, please? This is very quickly. But yeah, this is how God works. And he knew that was still part of my heart. That is some security there for if God doesn't come through. And I have this back door. Well, I said to Doug, and we can die now. Everything is divided. It's done now. Actually, it gives you freedom. So don't put your heart in money. Yes, we all need money. The world works by money. We need money. We need money to buy, we need money to put in diesel or petrol or whatever in your car. You need money for lots of things. But don't set your faith in it. God will provide. He says he does. What was beautiful in Psalm 112 was he's not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. I've seen people who really get so upset of bad news, or is anxiously awaiting bad news. You know, when we have trust in God, we can face bad news. It's not that we will not have bad news. It doesn't say that. It just says you will stand firm in bad news. When I was a teenager, I wondered if I really believed in God, and I wondered if something terrible terrible happens to me, will I still have faith? And I've shared it also with a few of you. I thought, say for instance my child dies, will I still think that there is a God or that he's a good God or not? And then our second child was a baby daughter, and after 4 days, she died. And then there was that peace that surpasses all knowledge. I didn't understand why. And I said, okay, Lord, if this is the way you want us to walk, it doesn't make sense to me, but I will walk it. And it was a strange, we were heartbroken, but we were not devastated. And then I realized, okay, perhaps God is a little more real. It just took me many years still to be spiritual and have a relationship with him. But it was a start. Then the last two scriptures of Daniel. It's a beautiful story of Daniel and his friends. Nebuchadnezzar was the king, answered and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yield up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own god. They were thrown in a furnace, in a big oven, because they didn't want to pray to the king and honor the king. They wanted to pray and honor God. I wonder if how many of us would pass this test. If you feel that hot fire and you know you're going to be chucked in there. But at the end, what is the worst that can happen? You can die and then you enter heaven. So actually, it's also not so bad. Okay, then with Daniel 6, it was when Daniel was thrown in the pit with the lions. And then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found in him. Because, why? He didn't have faith in God, he trusted with his whole heart and with his whole understanding on God. And yes, some of the disciples were martyred. They also trusted in God. So it's not to say that everything will always be good and cool and awesome, but still we trust in God. Okay. Then we have this beautiful picture. Eunice is working with fruit, so I thought I'll do the fruit one. God actually showed me three circles and said it's three flowers and they are planted in soil, but I couldn't get a picture like that. So I thought this can also do it. It's hope, faith, and trust. And it hangs onto a tree. And where is your hope, faith, and trust? On what tree do you hang? Or how are you planted? In what soil? What is your solid ground? What is the ground you are planted in? And we quickly going to compare a few. Hope, faith, and trust in God. And hope, faith, and trust in other things. We try to level them out. Oh, we did get it wrong. Not really. The one is grounded in God and not in your own understanding or effort. The other one is grounded in yourself or in the government or in leaders. Your hope and trust is in world leaders. They will get it right. Brexit will happen because you've got good leaders or whatever. Then the one is controlled by God. The other one is self-control. And I think self-control is not only my difficulty. I think some of you also struggle with that. You want to be in control. We want to know. And especially like me, I'm not adventurous. I want to know. But yes, we must give control to God. The one feels insecure, the one with God, because you are not in control. It feels very insecure. And the other one gives a false sense of security. It's really not a true security. The one is dependent on God and the other one is independent of God. And then the next one is, the one is God's identity. The other one is our own identity. And searching for your identity in anything, in your work, in your studies, in your car, in your money. When you reach the age of 17, 18, 19, you don't want to have your family's identity sometimes anymore. You want to have your own identity. But then it's really important that you get your identity from God. because He made you, He created you, He formed you, He gave you your DNA, He thought about you, what size you will be, what color eye you will have, what is your gift. He is the one that you must identify with, and not with what your peers tell you. So peer pressure is not from God. Okay, so our security lies in God. And then the part with God, it's really big, because God can see the bigger picture. Yesterday, Eunice shared of Corrie ten Boom's book that we see only the back side of an embroidery piece. It looks very confusing, but God sees the front as well. So it doesn't make sense to me often how God operates, but I trust Him, because I've seen and I've gone through things where I had to step out in faith that I see, it happens the right way. It was as what He promised. Like Arlinki, there was someone that spoke your language. And that is so encouraging. We think that when we have our own control and we have our own tick list, I still need to climb that mountain, I still need to sail, I still need to do that, because that's the way we live. We have a tick list or a bucket list, or I don't know what you call it. You know, it's not about that. It's what God wants of us. It's not about the tick list. It's not to impress people. We must impress God. We're not impressing. We must do what He wants. That we are here for His glory, not for people's glory. Okay. So, there's also beautiful promises. I'm nearly at the end. There's a promise of deliverance. That scripture of Moses, he delivered Israel from the Egyptians, and God said, you will see them never again. And yes, they drowned. Enough that some people say, yeah, but they think the water was only knee-deep or something like that. That's why the Israelites could walk through. And then they say it's a much more bigger miracle that the Egyptians drowned in knee-deep water. Okay, and then there's a promise of peace. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. This scripture I got in South Africa when we sold the house, and I thought I will be sentimental and will be very difficult. I expected that. And it was not. And then I thought, what's wrong with me? Because I am, we lived there many years and it was really good. And then he gave me this scripture. You keep God in God keeps you in perfect peace. Those whose mind is stayed on Him, because you trust in Him, and I realize it's one of the spiffs you get when you trust in God. He gives you the peace. He gives you the peace to cope with what normal people struggle to cope with, or normal me would struggle to cope with. Promise of a helper. It's when He sent the Holy Spirit to us. Jesus said, I must go so that you can have a helper and Holy Spirit. And what a blessing is the Holy Spirit. What a blessing. If I think of my life before I was Spirit-filled and now I don't want to go back. Without God, without hearing His voice, without the Holy Spirit guiding me, my life is much more difficult. Now I am secure because I know what He says is the truth and I must do it. I don't always agree, but I know I need to do this. This is the right one. And it gives me a huge sense of security. That it's just awesome. Helper, and then love, a promise of love. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. It's a promise, and you can test God on it. And a promise of enriched. A greedy man stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in the Lord will be enriched. And the last promise is a promise of safe. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Anxiety and fear and stress is not the bodies of God. It is from the enemy. God says, trust me, I will give you peace. I am there. I secure you. But in life, it is not always so easy. But I know God wants to take us to the next level. So Eunice, if you can put the picture of the three fruits on, that would be great. And if you can stand, please. Father God, we honor you. We have heard these words of hope and faith and trust so often, Lord, but I hope that today we could understand perhaps a little more of it. And your heart is for this, Father. You say we must have hope in you, but we must have faith in you, and we must trust you. Father, help us to come from hope to faith to trust, Lord. In our own ability, it is so difficult, but with you, it is easier. So when all eyes are closed, I ask that if there's anyone here today that has never put his hope, faith, and trust in God, in Jesus Christ, who died for our sin, who rescued us from a sinful life, and we are forgiven because of that, so that we can have relationship with God, so that the Holy Spirit can guide us, so, and also that we can have, we can live in heaven with all the other saints after life, after our bodies die here on earth. If there's anyone who has never publicly taken that decision to put his faith, hope, and trust in God, I would love you to put up your hand if you want to choose Jesus today. In the name of Jesus. With giving your heart to Jesus and to acknowledge him as the Son of God, we repent. We repent of our sins. We repent of where we did it wrong. We repent of where we missed it. And then God comes and he says, I forgive you. So there's always repentance with our commitment to God for the first time. And then I want to ask you, while your eyes are closed, that is there anything in your heart that while I was talking that God stirred with his Holy Spirit in your heart where you didn't really hope or have faith or trust in him, where it's you just couldn't or you just wouldn't, or you struggled. Then where you are, you can stay. You can ask God's forgiveness for that and ask him to help you. And I'm going to go in a prayer for that. And when I've finished prayer, I want the small group leaders to come to the front to help facilitate anyone who wants to stand in agreement with a facilitator to bring his prayer to God. And also, if there's anyone who needs healing, please come to the front that we can pray for you. Heavenly Father, we honor you. You are our hope, faith, and trust. And we declare it today. You are our hope, faith, and trust. Lord, we put it in your hands. We know you are real. We know that you're powerful. We know you are the only God. Thank you, Lord, for that. Help us where we fail. And we come now before you, Lord, and ask forgiveness for the many times we couldn't put it in you. We just wanted to control it ourselves, or it just didn't make sense and we couldn't put that step. We repent for that, Lord. And I pray now that everyone, as they speak to you, Lord, and they talk to you, that you will bring it to their remembrance, and that you will comfort them and say, okay, next time you will. And I'm there, and trust me. And Father, I thank you for all the testimonies that will come out from this. Where we walked on water, it's super not a safe place according to us, but it is a super safe place. If you've said it, it is the best. So thank you, Lord, that this will glorify you. Thank you, Lord, that we will grow in our hope, faith, and trust, and that it will glorify you, our King, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.